to understand, because we don't usually hear on this subject. I would like to bring some of the thoughts from the Old Testament as well as from the New Testament about priesthood. To begin with, I just would give you an outline on this subject because it's very important. Just a brief introduction on the subject, that is on the priesthood of believers. Then we will look at some of the similarities between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. Some of the principles that we can learn from Old Testament about the New Testament priesthood. And thirdly, we will be looking at New Testament priesthood in general and our privileges as priest and what makes our worship acceptable to God and what are the spiritual sacrifices and a word of warning. So there are so many things to cover, and I don't know whether we'll be able to cover everything. If not, I'll be continuing this discussion this coming Wednesday. When my mother was seriously ill, she was taken to the Regent's Hospital. When I was there, a social worker came to me and asked me, "Do you need a priest?" And I said, "I don't." Because this person thought that, we need a priest to exercise the last rite to my mother. And I said, we don't need any priest. And I prayed and committed her life to the Lord. And I am thankful that the Lord blessed her with a wonderful life for about 95 years. She led a very gracious and blessed life, serving the Lord and being a great support to my father. And in emergency situations, probably you might hear a statement like this: "Is there any priest out there?" Have you ever heard anything like that? Is there any priest out there? When you think about all these things, we understand that the priesthood of the believers is a subject that is denied and distorted by many Christians today. People don't have a clue about this doctrine, the priesthood of believers. And in fact, only after the Reformation, the Christians were enlightened on this subject. And before that, people were not allowed to read the Bible, nor even to sing a song, because we were not trained to read and understand and interpret the Word of God. And only after the Reformation, we know that Martin Luther wrote almost 37 hymns, and some of the hymns we sing in our own chapel. So we know that priesthood is a subject that is distorted by many, many people even today. But it is a subject that is discussed throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. You know, there are many, many references that we can find in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, as well as, in fact, if you look at Psalms, there are so many expressions of worship. And think about Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. You can see this subject all through the Bible, the worship and the priesthood of God's people. It's not a human idea. This idea really came from the very heart of God. God wanted that his people should exercise the priesthood. They should become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. When God saved his people from slavery in Egypt, led them to the wilderness, given them instruction concerning all these moral laws, then we know that God told them that you got to be a nation of priesthood. Not a selected few people could become the priest, But as a nation, they should exercise priesthood. That was God's desire for the nation of Israel, about which we find in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 6. God said that you should become the kingdom of priests. That was God's idea. Now, in order to understand any subject, what we need to know is, what is not priesthood? Here, that's our subject matter, right? What is not priesthood? Then we will look at, as an introduction, some of the essential facts about who is a priest or who is priesthood. So that we will, as an introduction, look into, then we will come to the similarities between the Old Testament priesthood and New Testament priesthood. To begin with, we see that the priests are not a special people called to full-time ministry. You know, that's what the misconception many people have. That's not the priesthood. They are not the priest. They are no Brahmin-like class in the church. You find among Hindus, there is a particular class called Brahmins. And they are there to exercise the priestly responsibility. In the church, there is no such class. And thirdly, we understand that they are not a people who are authorized to forgive sins and to do or exercise or perform the ordinances in the church. Unfortunately, even today, many churches do have ordained priests to do these kinds of things. That's not the kind of priesthood the Bible is talking about. And fourthly, priests are not pastors. Some people think that pastors are priests. That is true. Pastors are priests, but all priests are not pastors. It's a very confused idea. And then we understand that priesthood is not limited to elders. Even in our own assembly, sometime if you go to different assemblies, you can see that there's a separate chairs, a place for the elders and things like that. No, there is nothing like that. It's very sad to see. I had seen with my own eyes in many churches. They are being treated as ordained priests. So the priesthood is not limited to elders. And then also we need to understand that priesthood is not limited to men. Some people think that, you know, only men are ordained to be the priest. No, that's not right. All those who are saved, all the believers, all those who exercise their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are priests. They entered into priesthood. That is the clear-cut teaching of the Word of God. So then, who is not a priest? That's what we are discussing so far. Then also we need to understand who is a priest. There are many things that we need to understand about it. All true believers are priests unto God. All true believers are priests unto God. How did we get that privilege or honor? We received that privilege or honor through the finished work of our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something that we earn. It's a gift given to us by God to exercise priesthood in the church or in the assembly. One of the saddest things that we can find in the church today is many God's people don't exercise the priesthood responsibility. Non-functioning priesthood is a problem in the church today. You know, we ought to become the functioning priesthood. When we become the functioning priesthood in the church will thrive. The church will become vibrant. The believers will grow in the grace and in the knowledge. And we see in the scripture that we are the priesthood. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Some of the brethren could help me out in this area. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 5 and 9. Josh, would you be able to read that for me? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light.
You know, already I mentioned about that, you know, this is God's idea that his redeemed people should exercise their priesthood responsibility. But we know that, unfortunately, you know, even though God gave all this moral and ceremonial laws to the nation of Israel, they couldn't do it. They could not exercise or enjoy that covenant relationship because of the weakness of their flesh. But God did not give up his idea. God, through his prophet Jeremiah, told that one day he is going to fulfill his plan, that God's redeemed people will exercise that responsibility of priesthood, about which you read in Jeremiah chapter 31, that there he was talking about the new covenant relationship in reference to the nation of Israel. Someday they will enter into that relationship, or they will enter into a new covenant relationship with God. Then, as a result of it, they will be exercising their priesthood. But I'm very thankful that Peter had the foresight, or Peter had the insight, let me put it that way, to understand that. And when Peter was writing about the building, the church, the Lord Jesus Christ is the living stone and we are the living building block, and the house of God is built up, and then he said that you are the holy priesthood. We read about that in chapter 2, verse 5. You are the holy priesthood. You are. Not a selected group, but all those who are believed, all those who are saved and sanctified, all redeemed people are a priesthood unto God. And again in verse 9, we read the same statement, that you are the royal priesthood. You are the holy priesthood. And you are the royal priesthood. We will discuss about the difference between holy priesthood and royal priesthood later. And also, John the Apostle had the insight later on. After many few years, he wrote that, you know, we are the kingdom of priests. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, maybe you can read that too. Revelation chapter 1. Maybe you read from verse 4 onwards, 4 and 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6.
John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever.
Yeah, you know, we are a kingdom of priests. He's addressing Christians in general, not a selected group. So we need to understand the ministry of the church is not a one-man ministry. The priesthood ministry that would take place in the church should never be a one-man ministry. Should never be a one-man ministry. That is not consistent with the teaching of the Word of God. And also, we need to understand that there is no difference like clergy and laity in the church. That's not there in the Bible. That's not there in the Bible. We have to be very clear about it. I couldn't find that in the scripture so far. In my study of the scripture, I could not find that. Then the idea of the priesthood is not something that we see only in the New Testament. It was there in the Old Testament. I already mentioned about that from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 3 to 9. But they could not obey the law. But God did not give up that idea. Through his servants, he revealed that idea to us. And that this God's plan was fulfilled through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the people who enter into the new covenant relationship. Through the shedding of the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we entered into the new covenant relationship. So we are the priesthood of the living God. We are. Now, there are some similarities between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. You know, when you turn to the book of Exodus chapter 28 and onwards, we will read about that. chapter 28, 29, Leviticus chapter 8 and 9, there we read about the consecration of the priest. Consecration of the priest. This morning, somebody read from Hebrews chapter 10. There, chapter 10, verse 20. Consecration. That same word is used there. Chapter 10, verse 20. Consecrated. The Lord Jesus Christ consecrated a new and living way so that we can enter into the very presence of God in confidence. The word that is used in the old King James Version is boldness. Better we could translate that word with confidence. We can enter there. The inner sanctum, the most holy place, because we are consecrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. We are consecrated. So we find in the book of Leviticus, God's plan for all this consecration of the priesthood, including Aaron. I'm not going to cover that particular subject, the consecration of the high priest. It is different from the consecration of the priest. That's the sons of Aaron. That is the responsibility of me to discuss only about the consecration of his son. Because it is an entirely different subject. It's a very profound and a very wonderful subject to study. The consecration of Aaron, who is nothing but a picture of our blessed Savior, our great high priest. So here we find that in the book of Leviticus chapter 1 to 7, the Lord was revealing his plan for his people, particularly for the priest. You know what they need to do about all these offerings. These offerings give us the beautiful picture of some of the fundamental human needs. What are the fundamental human needs that he's talking about in those five offerings? Do you remember the five offerings, sacrifices that are being discussed in the first seven chapters of Leviticus? Burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, and sin offering and trespass offering. In those five offerings, God was dealing with the fundamental things or fundamental principles or needs of human heart. There we see in the burnt offering, God was dealing with our devotion to Him, our love towards God. How much we really love God. Our devotion to God. And in the grain offering, we see how joyful and how excited we are when we gather together in the very presence of God. And in the peace offering, we appropriate the peace that we have with God and also the peace of God that we enjoy in our daily lives. And when we think about the sin offering, we know that it's talking about forgiveness of sin or confession. Forgiveness of sin. And in the trespass offering, God was talking about our need of reconciliation. And praise God, our blessed Savior met all those needs on the cross of Calvary. We couldn't meet those needs because of the weakness of our flesh. Even though we have a sincere desire to do all these things, meet all these needs, we couldn't because we are weak. We were not capable. But God in His goodness through His Son completed and met all those needs for you and me. Then after that, we read about the consecration of the priest, including, that is, in Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. And my desire is not to focus on Leviticus chapter 8, rather to talk from the book of Exodus chapter 29. So let us turn to Exodus chapter 29. Because these chapters are all very interrelated chapters. It's a very vast subject. But we need to understand that there are a lot of things in common that we can find in Leviticus chapter 8 and 9 and also Exodus chapter 28 and 29. One thing we know that God is the one who commanded Moses to consecrate the people, Israel, that is Aaron and his sons, for the ministry in the tabernacle. God is the one who commanded. But God used Moses as an instrument to consecrate these people for his work. Moses is the beautiful type of our blessed Savior, our great high priest. So we understand that he is our high priest and we are accepted in the beloved. And then also we find that God picked Aaron and his sons for the priesthood, not because they were the perfect people or they were the better people. No. It was just because of the sovereign will of God that God chose them to be the priest among God's people. You know, that's what exactly God has done for us. Priesthood is not something that people choose, including Christ. Not only believers, including Christ. Priesthood was a position given to him by the Father. Let's turn to Psalm 2. There we read about. It's a beautiful psalm. Verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me. This is the dialogue that was taking place in heaven between God the Father and God the Son. You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. When you turn to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 33, there is a reference to this particular verse. So, the day when the Lord rose from the dead and ascended to the very presence of our Father, that is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ became our high priest. He was not a high priest before. No, not at all. Now he is our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 2 as well as in 4, we read about his high priestly qualification. He was tempted like us in all points, yet without sin, right? That never happened before. He can show compassion to you because he knows, he understands your problems. He lived in this flesh, in this world. He faced the similar temptations and trials in this life, yet without sin. Therefore, he is asking us to come closer to the throne of grace, because there is plenty of mercy and grace. He is our great high priest. He is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That's what we find in the book of Hebrews. So we find in this book that he is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who made us the priest, but also he became the priest because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It is a position that was received. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Aaron, would you like to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 and 5? Because I can just say something, but you don't have to believe it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. You got it? This is a position that was received by the Lord. Likewise, we too. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, he consecrated a way, a living and new way, so that we can enter into the very presence of God. And we are called, we are chosen. This is a privilege and honor God has given to us. You know, then we read in the book of Leviticus about the garments that were given to the priest. And there are 7 pieces of garments given to the high priest. It's a beautiful study. I encourage you to study that. It's a beautiful subject. 7 pieces of garments. That shows